topic. Let's talk about the topic of machine matzah. Okay, it's Pesach is around the corner. Pesach is around the corner. Shloshim yom lefnei achag, shloshim midarshim yonah shel chag. Now, the topic of machine matzah is an enormously big topic. There are svarim, there are encyclopedias written on the topic of machine matzah. And in fact, I have a very good write-up is in the Sefer Mo'adim L'Simcha, which we use very often here, by Rabbi Freund. One of the volumes, he has a very large article about machine matzah. But for today, for 20 minutes, 20 so minutes, I want to just go through some of the Iker Yesoidos that I found presented in an RJJ journal. This is a superb article. This is from Pesach Tovshin Samachay, 2005, spring 2005. So this is 11 years ago, by Rabbi Israel Batnik. I do not know who he is. Anyone heard of him? Rabbi Israel Batnik, and he presents here, he's a musmach from Yeshiva University, and he presents the Iker Yesoidos of Iker issues that relate to the question of using on Pesach machine matzah. Now, how much does it cost a pound of hand matzah? $28?
Tomorrow night, I'll tell you.
24, 25, 26, 27, 28. How much does it cost a pound of machine matzah? I don't know. It really varies. There's a very big range of all different types of machine matzah, but it's nowhere near. It's nowhere near $25 a pound. What? You don't get it for free. Okay, but it's significantly cheaper. Not that much cheaper. Every year the price of machine matzah really creeps higher and higher. They have, especially today, they have a lot of chumras that go into machine matzah, and it comes out that it's not all that much cheaper. I mean, it's cheaper, obviously. It's at least $10 cheaper a pound, but the prices are pretty astonishing for machine matzah as well. For large families, it's just not affordable to buy a hand matzah, hand shmur matzah. I mean, it's just, you could break the bank. It's something which for many people is just it's a basic necessity. Furthermore, many, many Gedolei Yisrael prefer machine matzah. For one very important reason, machine matzah, it's accepted. There's much less chash of chametz.
Human error.
The human error has been eliminated. Human error has been eliminated by and large with machine matzah. So that is a very great advantage in using machine matzah. And of course, we're discussing machine matzah of the 21st century. We're not talking about machine matzah from the year 1863. The first time matzah was made by a machine was in the year 1863 in France. Noam and the Shevitz came a little bit later in the year 1882. Streitz matzah came in the year 1916. So matzah did not come to America until the year, at least according to his article, his research, until the year 1888 in America. But machine matzah was first made in the year 1863 in France. And this machine matzah was very problematic because of chashash chametz. Okay, those machines were not operated, by the way, not through electricity. They were operated by hand. There were some machines that were operated through water power. And these machines had many, many problems. The water can get into the machine to make the flour chametz. And the bits of dough can get stuck in the cracks and crevices, which can be chametz. And the original machine matzah, they used to make round machine matzah. Not like today. Today, almost virtually all machine matzah today is square.
I think Rakusin in England is not square.
They make round?
Absolutely.
It's now square?
Square.
Okay, I personally have never seen in my life round machine matzah. I heard it exists.
Like a cracker.
I heard it exists. You've seen, has anyone here seen round machine matzah?
Yes.
You've seen it?
Yes.
They used to make it round machine matzah. Okay, I personally never saw this, and it used to be that when they originally made matzah, you have to think, traditionally, there's no question about it, matzah was always round. That's how it was. Until 1863, it seems that people never bothered making square matzah. And why? It could be, it's just practical, just nothing religious. So that's what they want to say. What came first, chicken or the egg? They made the matzah round because it was practical. Oh, it happens to say ugo is matzah, ugo is an ugo is around. So they all of a sudden they work backwards, they reinvent history, rewrite history, and matzah has to be round. You want to make a square matzah? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Your mama she over connected kol haTorah kula. Is that really true or not? I don't know, but people, when they started making machine matzah,
pizza. You never saw
exactly. You never saw square pizza. You never saw such a thing.
You roll out the dough.
You roll out the dough. You roll that round. But it's very interesting when they started making matzah, machine matzah. So people were afraid that no one would buy the machine matzah if it was square, because it's just not traditional. It's not what people look like. So the machines were made in a way where they cut off the corners to make it round. So what do you do with the corners? You put it back into the next batch. In the next batch, it's already past 18 minutes, or you're getting very close to 18 minutes. So this was another problem, that the corners that were discarded can cause the matzah to turn into chametz. All right, whatever it is. 1863, the machine matzahs had major, major problems because of a chashash chametz. In the 21st century, the companies that make matzah have perfected the machines to the degree where there's less, it's acknowledged, l'chol hadeis, there is less of a concern of chashash chametz with the machine matzah than there is a hand matzah. And therefore many Gedolei Yisrael prefer, believe it or not, to use machine matzah. Besides the price issue, they prefer to use machine matzah. However, the major issue with using hand machine matzah, it lacks the full dosage of lishma. When you make a machine matzah, you make a matzah, you have to l'shem matzas mitzvah. If you ever go to a matzah baking factory, l'shem matzas mitzvah. Can a machine participate in making it l'shem matzas mitzvah? So that's the big dilemma. And some places can say, no, it cannot. Not at least to the same degree. And therefore, it's not as kosher. It's not. Now, let's discuss some of the issues. Okay, now here we go. The first thing we have to know is, and I'm just throwing out svaris because there's a lot of names, a lot of svarim, they're contrasim. Like I said, you can fill up a whole library with all the different things, but let's show the basic yisodos. The first thing is, it says in the pasuk, it's pasuk in the Torah, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. You have to guard the matzah. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. It's a mitzvah deraisa, a pasuk in the Torah. When does Shimur begin? Let's just throw out this issue. So, Shulchan Aruch presents three different opinions as when the matzah has to be guarded. Either Mishas Kitzira, from the harvest. From the time you go out to the field and you cut down the grain. That's a chiddush, because you would think maybe you should already have Shima when it's growing. It's no joke. If it's growing, there's too much rain. If there's too much rain or there's too little rain and it gets moldy, it happens. It could happen. And when the grain is attached to the ground, things can go wrong and maybe there can be some abnormality and it can turn the chametz when it's attached to the ground. There's such a possibility. It's not so far-fetched. If the environment, the conditions of the environment are not 100%, especially at the end of the season. No. You have no obligation to guard the grain as when it's still attached to the ground. Okay, that's out. But l'chatchila, Shulchan Aruch says, it already should be guarded from the time that it is cut. From the moment the grain, even though it's not flour, it's still in its husks. It's still, the kernels are still buried inside the husk. Once already it's cut, already you have to be careful it should not get wet, because if it gets wet, then theoretically it can turn into chametz. The next state is tchina, grinding. After you pulverize the stalks and you separate the kernel from the chaff and you take the kernel and you crush it to produce flour, that's a very critical moment. At that moment in time, if it comes in contact with water, it can very quickly turn into chametz. The third moment is lisha, when you begin to knead, when you add water to the flour. That's when, certainly now, if you know you have 18 minutes, our tradition is 18 minutes, lukewarm water, mayim shalanu, the clock is ticking, it turns to chametz, it has to be fully baked by the end of 18 minutes. So there are three zmanim. Halacha l'maisa, we're machmir, the Shulchan Aruch says you should be machmir, yishah mishas kitzira. If you can't mishas kitzira, b'diyeved mishas tchina, from the grinding of the flour. And b'diyeved, If you have no choice, push comes to shove, then you can even kaim. It's kosher, even if the only time you guard if the time of leisha. That's not a really good idea. Now, so I want to point out that when it comes, this is the fact that he makes. He wrote this 11 years ago. I don't know if things have changed. I'm certainly they have changed. Probably the price of your machine matzah depends upon this factor. At least traditionally, at least until the year 2005 when he wrote this article, the vast majority of machine matzah is not shomur mishas kitzira. It is shomur either mishas techina or mishas lisha. It's not. That's why they will not. They will not. Well, when it says shmur, they're not going to write on most on mishim matzah. At least he claims here, it's matzah shmura. Now they have a mishas kitzira, and that's why the price. They're taking advantage. They have it shmur mishas kitzira, and that's why the price is $5 more a box. $5 more a box. And that's highway robbery because it doesn't. What they're charging you for the small amount of a cost of shmur mishas kitzira. You have to understand something. The amount of machine matzah that is produced in this country and worldwide is infinitely more than hand matzah. Hand matzah, even though you live in Flatbush and Bar Park and you think this is the whole world, and everyone is using hand matzah, not everyone, but many people are using hand matzah, is a teeny percentage of the matzah that is produced in this world. Manischewitz makes in one shift, okay, in one shift, a 6-hour shift, I think, more matzah in one shift than Schatzer makes the entire season. From before Hanukkah all the way until Erev Pesach, okay, with all of the deliveries of you ever pass by, they deliver coal for their ovens and the flour. Very good.
What do you say?
Manischewitz in one shift, one 6-hour shift, they make more matzah. That's the statistics. Now, you know how much flour that is? You know how much flour? It's not humanly possible to have the flour to be shomor, mishas kitzira. Anything is possible, but it's just not economical and it's not practical to have the flour to be shomor, mishas kitzira when you're dealing with a scale, such a massive scale.
Why not?
It's not, because that's just how it is.
You have to. The truckloads go.
Well, they're doing it now. They're trying to do it now. They're trying now, and they're adding the price. It's just changing the market. That's why you walk in.
10 years ago, Manischewitz makes everything. Their matzahs are, even though they don't market, but they decided that it's caused so much aggravation making the plain kosher Pesach.
The whole year. Whole year it's kosher Pesach.
Kosher Pesach,
yeah. It used to be matzahs were only kosher Pesach, Erev Pesach. You have to be very careful. Today it's... What?
Well, yeah, you find that even nowadays.
It depends, yeah.
Not kosher
Pesach. Okay, but even when they say it's not kosher Pesach, if you'll pressure the mashkiach, they'll tell you it really is kosher Pesach. It's just that for...
It's like all of goals, the pickles...
Because
and
they don't, people don't want to buy the Pesach. You know, people don't want to buy things that don't want kosher Pesach because it sounds like it's old.
Right. There are a lot of reasons.
But they say they have
Yishkin.
Okay, it's not so simple. Okay, let's go further.
They said they have Yishkin.
Okay, now here's an issue. I want to point out this issue. This is a very important issue. Do you realize that when you have hand matzah...
Matzah have yeast.
Okay, why is the matzah? Why do you want to have hand matzah? What's the milah? L'shem matzah smitzvah, right? L'shem matzah smitzvah. It's a very important point. Look at your shatza matzah. It's called, you want when they take the water, they pour the water into the flour. There's a Jew there, l'shem matzah smitzvah, which cannot be accomplished by a machine. Okay, and what is it stamped on the box? Matzah shmura, mishas kitzira. Wait a minute. The same way I need shmira from the moment I pour the water into the flour, I also need shmira from the time when it's cut from the ground. Kitzira. Excuse me, who's the one cutting the grain from the ground? Who's the one? A machine. A machine, a tractor, a massive tractor that's being driven by a non-Jew. out in a farm, who knows where, Arizona somewhere, by a machine, and it goes from one machine into another machine into another machine, and maybe there's a mashkiach that's sitting with a pair of binoculars in a nice air-conditioned hut looking out, learning daf yomi. Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael they go with their sigil. They found the tunnels like that. They were going there. They did. So those matzahs cost $50 a pound. Okay, let's talk about the shatz matzah. I don't really know, but let's say talk about a matzah that costs $25 a pound. Why are you paying $25 a pound? Because there's a Jew who went and poured the water and said l'shem matzah mitzvah, and you injected the full din shmira mishas lisha. But wait a minute! If I'm paying for matzah shmura that's done l'shma, there's no machine. The lishma, the shmira, is on all parts of the process. It's on the shmira mishas lisha. There's a shmira mishas kitzira, and there's a shmira mishas techina. And these things, certainly, in the vast majority of the hand matzah, are being done by machines. And we're talking about machines that are so sophisticated. The tractors that they're using to cut the grain, these are very sophisticated machines. And the grinding is even more sophisticated. And there are people there. They take all the grain, they put it into a machine, they press a button. There's someone's pressing. Button, because even a non-Jew is pressing the button, and it's grinding the wheat, and the machines are spinning. They're separating the chaff from the kernel, and it's grinding the kernel. Where's the lishma? Where's the lishma? What's going on over here? So here's the yisod. The yisod over here is, yeah, you have to introduce this principle, and let's work backwards. There's a ritva, and the ritva quotes his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. There was an early Rishonim. Ritva was the middle. Well, Ritva was from the middle of the Rishonim. He's quoting his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says that the mitzvah of Shmira, of Lishma by Matzah, is not like the mitzvah of Shmira, of Lishma, let's say when you make tzitzis. When you make tzitzis, when you spin the wool to make the tzitzis, you have to do, I'm saying, l'shem kiddush, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. When you watch matzah, there's no din of doing something. Matzah naturally does not turn into chametz. As long as the wheat is kneaded with the flour is kneaded with the water, the dough is kneaded, and it's put in an oven, it will not turn into chametz. The din shmira ushmarten es hamatzos just means guard it, that it should not turn into chametz. You don't have to do anything, it's just to protect something from not happening. When it comes to tzitzis and making tefillin, you have to inject something positive. When it comes to matzah, there are all holes. There's nothing positive that has to be done to make the mitzvah into matzah's mitzvah. What has to be done is there just has to be someone there guarding that it should not turn into chametz. You don't need a positive positive injection of kedusha to make it matzah's mitzvah. Therefore, the Ra'ah says a very big chiddush. In Shulchan Aruch it says that if a goy makes the matzah, it's not kosher. If a child makes matzah, it's not kosher. Okay, some matzah baking factories will not let a 13-year-old boy make matzah because a 13-year-old boy is only in halacha safek gadol, because maybe he didn't bring shtei tzaras. Isha can, isha chayva matzah, isha can, but you have to be an adult. There were many scandals over the years where they discovered that people making the matzahs were not Jewish. They have Russians, they take Russians, and there's a shayla on their yichus. They have yichus, and they discover after they sent out thousands of pounds of matzah, guess what? One of the people working there needing the matzah was a Russian woman, and guess what? We were paying. We're taking advantage, we're paying her under the books, off the books, less than minimum wage, and it turned out that she wasn't even Jewish. This happened all the time. Now they're very, now they don't want to get caught because it's not good for business, they don't let them, they're very careful now. But it's not kosher. So now, not so simple, not kosher. Even when these scandals happen, they don't tell you because there's the Ra'ah. I know what the Ra'ah says? That if a Yisrael is Oymed al Gabov, it's kosher. How could a Yisrael be Oymed al Gabov if a guy writes your tefillin? Think about this. If a guy writes your tefillin with a Yisrael Oymed al Gabov, write the Aleph L'Shem Mitzvah's Tefillin. The Yisrael tells the guy every single letter. Write it L'Shem Mitzvah's Tefillin. Make my tzitzis L'Shem Mitzvah's Tzitzis. Is it kosher tefillin? Of course not. If a guy does the shechita, a guy does shechita, shech the animal, the shei mitzvah shechita, v'zavachta v'chalta, is it kosher? Of course not. Because there's a din that a Yisrael has to do the maisa. A guy omid al gabov is not good. Why? Because when it comes to tefillin, when it comes to tzitzis, you need to inject something positive. A positive injection of Kiddusha. A guy cannot do that even when there is a Yisrael Omid al Gabov. Matzah, there's nothing positive that needs to be injected into the matzah. There's no magic. We need a piece of matzah. There's no injection of spirituality that goes into the matzah. The din of the Torah Shmartem es ha-matzah is to be on guard 24/7 that it does not turn into chametz. That is not positive. That's just to prevent something negative from happening. The Ra'ah says, for that, a Yisrael Oymed al Gabov is sufficient. And many want to make the extension. That's pretty much the primary reason why, when it comes to matzah, well, one of the main contributing factors when it comes to machine matzah. Machine matzah, even you don't need the machine cannot inject a Kedusha into the matzah. But a Yisrael Oymed al Gabov on the machine is certainly good. Even if you'll tell me a guy is no good, a Yisrael Oymed al Gabov is no good, because the bottom line is the guy is doing the maisa, making the matzah, because the guy has zoned das. A child has zoned das, they can do whatever they want. A machine has no intellect whatsoever. So a Yisrael is Oymed al Gabov on the machine and is making sure the machine does what it's supposed to be doing. Is anything bad happening to the matzah? Of course not. Adraba, the machine is doing a better job than a regular person would do to make sure there's compliance. So therefore, this is the lumness of the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah, and that is why it would be good. Now this lumdus. Now what's the other tzad? The other tzad is no. The other tzad is that no. Many Rishonim disagree with this Ra'ah, that when it comes to matzah, there's a din in matzah like making tefillin and making tzitzis. You have to inject something positive into the shmirah. I'm now making the matzah l'shem matzah, that a machine cannot do. Now here's the big catch, which we're all samech on. Even we are not samech on, even if you dafka eat machine matzah, because you want to inject something positive, everyone agrees, not everyone, but most agree, that that only goes from the time you pour the water onto the flour. Because when you pour the water onto the flour, you start a process that will result in chametz if you do nothing. If I just leave it, I pour the water and the flour, put them together, if I do nothing, it's going to turn into chametz. In 18 minutes, it's all over. So now I have to be actively involved to make sure it does not turn into chametz. So therefore, you need a Jew, and the Jew does that. That's called injecting positive kedusha into the matzah. But for the kitzira, the harvest, and the grinding, where there's no possibility, there's nothing natural that's going to result in it turning into chametz. When I cut the grain off the ground, will it turn into chametz? There's nothing going to happen over there. Do I need shmirah? Yes, I need shmirah. When I do the grinding, will it turn naturally, will it turn into chametz? No. Do I need shmirah? Yes, you need shmirah. That type of shmirah, everyone agrees, is not a positive injection of kedusha into the maisa ketzira, into the maisa techina. Everyone agrees that type of shmirah is just to make sure something negative does not happen. And to make sure something negative does not happen, everyone agrees, a goy Yisrael oymid al gabe a goy is mutter. Everyone will agree when a machine does these actions, it is okay. A machine will be better than a goy because it's mamish, a machine has no das. So this svara, it's interesting that this svara, people are shouting, I don't want to eat machine matzah. Because machine matzah, it's not done l'shma. Do you realize the point that you're coming to disagree, why you don't want to eat the machine matzah, is because you're lacking the injection of kedusha? But what about the ketzira? What about the techina? That was certainly done by a machine, unless you're buying $50 a pound matzah and Eretz Yisrael from people that are going out into the field, they're not cutting it down from the ground and they're grinding it themselves, doing every single part themselves. That's being done by a machine, that's being done by a goyim with a Yisrael and al gabov. Yeah, because that is not a part of the avoid of the matzah that needs a positive injection of kedusha, because there nothing can go wrong anyway, just to prevent it from turning into chametz. So this is one very important yesod, the Ritva, quoting the Ra'ah, two different types of ways to look at the mitzvah, shmartim es hamatzos. Is it a positive injection, or is it to make sure nothing goes wrong? That'll be the nafkamina when it comes to the mishim matzah, and that's a nafkamina in Yisholom and El Gabov, a nafkamina in the Ketzira and in the Techina. Okay, another issue before we talk, conclude, we'll do some of this more another time. Another issue is, even if you hold, let's say you let the Chazanish is very makel in mishim matzah. The Chazanish wants to say that there are two dinim, well, there are a few different svaras, but even if you hold, let's look what would be inside, that you need there to be an injection of kedusha. Let me give you an example. What happens if a person turns on a machine is not, you press a button and the machine does a series of things. So maybe you'll tell me that a machine cannot inject kedusha into the object. If you press a button and a computer writes a pair of tefillin, is it kosher? Of course not. Well, I press the button. By me pressing the button that triggers the program, the robot, to write the pair of tefillin, no, because that cannot be considered to be kedusha. But what happens if you press a button? And by you pressing a button, you cause someone's property to be damaged. You cause damage to someone. I press the button, I send out a robot. I press the button, and my drone goes forward, and wreaks havoc all over. Wreaks havoc all over the place. Am I chayef and izakin? Absolutely. Why? A machine did it. I didn't do it. It's a machine. Well, even though the machine doesn't have kavana, but the machine's actions are traced to you, to your activity, to what you have done. Whoever said making matzah requires an injection of kedusha, Chazanish says, when it comes to writing tefillin, making tzitzis, your mamish giving the oisiyos kedusha. The tzitzis is an object of mitzvah. Matzah is not on that level. Matzah is a food. The mitzvah is to eat this food. The Torah says when you make the matzah, ushmartem es hamatzos, make sure it does not turn into chametz. Granted, you want to say that it's a positive act. It's not just the prevention of it turning into chametz. You want to give it a shtilu kedusha. But the kedusha you're giving it is no different than the laws of nizokin, of damages. If you press a button and a robot goes and causes damage, you're responsible. Even though when the robot caused the damage, the robot did not do it with intelligence. There's a responsibility. Here's another example. If you press a button and you water a field on Shabbos, are you chayef skila for watering the field on Shabbos? Absolutely. By pressing buttons, operating a machine, and causing a field to be watered on Shabbos, you're chayef. Why? Because the laws of Hilcha Shabbos do not demand it has to be a positive act. Melechas Machsheves, you have to do a Maisa. You have to do a Maisa, but a Maisa does not have to have a Maisa of Kiddush, it just has to be Koyach Gavra. There's something called Masa Adam versus what he calls Koyach Gavra. A machine, certainly, when you press the button and you begin the process of a machine, according to the Chazdish, can certainly qualify as what is required for a positive act of Ushmartem Es HaMatzos. Even learning like the Rishonim disagree with the Ritva and the Ra'ah, that Matzah requires a positive act of Lishma, of Shmira, but Shmira is not L'shem Mitzvah's Tefillin. It's not L'shem Kedusha's Tefillin. It's just your intervention, your actions. Pressing buttons on a machine to getting a process qualifies as Koyach Gavra. The same way it qualifies Koyach Gavra with regard to Hilcha Shabbos, to be Chayef for Malachos on Shabbos, and the same way it qualifies as your actions when it comes to the laws of Nezaki and damages, it qualifies for the fulfillment of the Torah once of Shmartem Es HaMatzos. It's been done in order to make the matzah in a perfect state. That's sufficient. And therefore the Chazanish holds that would in fact be good. The only other question he discussed is, what about making of the matzah, which involves a multi-process step? You press the button, and then it triggers a whole sequence of events. There are like 20 different steps in the making of the matzah and the machine. The machine first has to go get the water, has to then get the flour, has to mix it, then has to slice it, and then it has to go make holes, then it has to go and put into an oven, it has to wait. The computer is doing many, many, many things. There are many sensors. So who says that your one matzah that you press in the beginning, you can attribute that one matzah Raisa to all of the different steps of the process that happened throughout the entire process. So this indeed is a problem, and the Chazon Ish is a very big chiddush. He brings a raya out of time now. He brings a raya that it's mutter. If you begin a process, even if there are 20 steps, it's all considered to be part of your ma'isa. He wants to point out that the Mishnah Berurah is possibly mashma disagrees with his svara, and according to the Mishnah Berurah, indeed it would be a problem. If you press a button and you do something, and there are many steps in the process, there are many sensors, like you make matzah, there are a lot of sensors in the machine when it's ready to begin the next step of the process, so that each step of that process may indeed need, according to the Chofetz Chaim, an additional injection of your ma'isa, which is not necessarily a problem in today's matzah factories, because that's part of the hidum they do in today's matzah factories is they have people doing, they have the machine does everything, but there are people that are starting all the various parts of the process which keep on giving it human action. Okay, so every matzah factory is different, they have different chumras. Bottom line is, most posts can hold it as mutter. These are just a touch some of the issues. Okay.